Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, it's that time of the day. I'll tell you what, not being in yesterday, at 1 o'clock, I looked at my phone. I was like, it's 1 o'clock. It's the Daily Mock. And I'm like, wait, I'm not.
Yeah, you're not working.
I'm not here. I don't even know what they're doing. What did you guys use yesterday? Kiper and Field Yates?
Yep. Yeah, they went back and forth.
Yeah, it was a good one. That was a good mock. Today.
It was the offensive lineman, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Who would he have?
That was yesterday. Mims? I'm talking about yesterday.
Was it Mims, the offensive lineman?
Was it yesterday?
No, yes. Well, I can't remember. We did too many of these.
I thought it was offensive
lineman. They do kind of run together.
Now, yeah. We did have Tom Kelly in here, who was also a pillarman.
Oh, yeah,
like
that
you?
Makes sense.
A pillarman.
Yeah.
That's
him and I were Skoronski guys last
that's
year.
The thing now, a pillarman?
Well, yeah. Thinking of calling you guys caterpillars.
A little much.
That's a lot.
Maybe we become butterflies at some point? Fly away? Anyway, let's go to the mock today. Peter Schrager. Now, this is interesting. Peter Schrager, Good Morning Football. He does some sidelines for the NFL on Fox. He doesn't put out many mock drafts. In fact, he only puts out two. Today, and he'll put out one the day of the draft. And I've noticed over the years, Peter Schrager, who's very he's very plugged in.
Yeah, because I think him and Howie are frat brothers.
They know each other. And Schrager does a podcast in which he brings on NFL head coaches. Like, he's pretty plugged in. And he talks to these guys. So when he puts out a mock, he's been pretty accurate in the past. Here's what he has in his mock 1.0. He only does two. First one today, number one, Caleb Williams, Chicago Bears, quarterback out of USC. Number two, Jaden Daniels, quarterback out of LSU. To the Commanders. Number three, the Patriots keep the pick and select Drake May from North Carolina. Number four, now this is interesting. We've seen a lot of Vikings trade up for J.J. McCarthy. Well, or the Broncos. Well, in this one, Hugh, the Giants jump up from 6 to 4 to get the replacement for Daniel Jones. J.J. McCarthy goes to the Giants at number four. Arizona drops down. Number five, Marvin Harrison Jr. Receiver goes to the Cardinals at 6. So as we move down the board here and we get to the Eagles, Brock Bowers, we've talked about, goes at 10. Terrion Arnold goes to the Vikings at 11. So some players that maybe could have fit here. Quinyon Mitchell goes to the Jaguars at number 17. So it's like, all right, who are the Eagles going to end up with? Tyler Guyton, we've heard that name. He goes to the Rams in this draft. Brian Thomas Jr., the receiver, who Elliott's talked up, goes to the Steelers.
Yeah, Jared Verse. Yeah.
Yes, Jared Verse, the pass rusher from Florida State, he goes 21. Well, that puts the Eagles on the board at number 22. Here is how Peter Schrager sees it in his mock draft.
22, Philadelphia Eagles. Howie's not just going to take the best player. Howie's going to make a splash. He always does. Cooper DeJean, DB out of Iowa. Is it DeJean? I don't know. He's a white cornerback, and everyone's going to make a big deal out of it, and I mention it as the first thing, but let's put that out of the way and just consider him a Swiss Army knife. Guy could play corner. Guy could play safety. Guy could play special teams. He can do it all, and he also had an incredible workout last week. Just a few months removed from a very serious injury. DeJean is a special teams guy. If you need him to be, I love him for Philly. I feel like he'll be a fan favorite, and he's just an outstanding athlete. I posted last week his high school basketball highlights, jumps through the roof. And if you're Philly, it's like, let's just add young talent. Let's just get more talent on this thing. We've already got a bunch of young guys who are supposed to sprout and develop on defense. Defensive backfield seems like an area of need. Cooper DeJean,
the name is picking up some steam here.
I just find it hilarious when I hear white people say he's white. I just find it kind of hilarious.
It's a real issue.
When it's a corner,
he can play though. Bottom line, he can play.
He really can.
He said he was going to be a fan favorite. Why? Because he's white. That's crazy.
Well, I think the way he plays. I think he meant the way he plays.
Listen, I just want a player. I just want somebody to play. Bear Brooks has been talking about this young cat since we started talking about the draft. And if he's going to come in and make my football team better and play the type of defensive corner that I feel that Vic Fangio is going to want outside there, that's all I care about. And if he's going to come in, he's an immediate upgrade. That's all I care about.
Some people have brought up, is he fast enough to actually play corner in the NFL, or is he a safety? I don't know, right? I don't think we'll know
I think his physicality. The way that I envision him playing is being able to, like we talked about, or I talked about run after the catch, and how, like, the teams that were in the playoffs last year, they limited the runs after the catch a lot of times, especially the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that's huge. I think that's how Coach Fangio's defense wants to play, and I think that's the type of corners that you need out there on the island. Cooper Jean, I think he can do that. He's physical enough, and I also believe that when you look at the pieces that we have on the defensive side of the ball, I think it's important to be interchangeable. So that way that, you know, there are no surprises out there. And if anybody gets caught in a certain position or whatever, that everybody knows what they're going to do, and it's not going to be a big deal.
Well, I agree with that. And here's the thing I'm looking at, because every time I watch a highlight of Cooper DeJean, he's taking an interception back for a touchdown, or he's running it back. The guy's a playmaker, and he takes the ball away. So last year, the Eagles only had 9 interceptions the entire season as a team. 9. So the only teams that had fewer last year, there was 6 teams that had fewer than 9 interceptions. Everybody else in the league had more than that. I mean, that's pretty pitiful. In 17 games, to only get 9 interceptions. They already brought back CJ GJ, who we know is a playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get Cooper DeJean in here, who makes plays on the football. I just would be excited to have 2 safeties, or whatever you think DeJean is. Maybe he's a slot corner, maybe he's an outside corner.
Interchangeable. Like a Swiss Army knife.
2 guys that could take the ball away.
Yes.
That would be awesome. And then with DeJean, just if he could do what he did in college, he would take it away and then run it back for touchdowns. I mean, how about – it's been so long since the Eagles had a player that you felt was going to do that. I mean, I know, I guess a couple years ago, Slay had a few of those on a fumble return, interception return. Back in the day, Asante Samuel would do it. But you know, there's not many guys in the secondary that you feel like, all right, they're going to intercept it and run it back.
Playmakers.
Yeah.
Difference makers. Guys that – you know, outside of, and I hate to bring back memories for everybody, outside the fact that Hassan Reddick used to seal away games for us. Somebody seals it away with an actual interception or something like that
fun.
And take it to the house. You know, change the game in that way. So, yeah, I hear you. And that's what I want. I want guys that are going to tackle. And if he's a corner that's going to tackle and is going to limit it, he's going to limit yards after the catch, I'm with that. That's what I want.
So you're signing off? You're good if he tackles?
I'm good.
Makes
I'm
plays?
Good. I'm good. I'm good.
I like him. I think he's going to be a good player in the NFL. And if Quinyon Mitchell and Terry Arnold are gone, I think he's the third best guy, secondary guy in the NFL draft. So we'll see if he's on the board, if he's there at 22. But Peter Schrager's got Cooper DeJean to the Eagles at number 22. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones here. Alex is in Boyertown. Hey, Alex.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Alex. What's up, pal?
Great, first time calling in. Just wanted to say, listen to you every day. I got a couple quick points basically on what you've been talking about. Quickly, Cooper DeJean, how do you say his last name?
I believe it's DeJean, yeah.
DeJean, DeJean.
Tajin. I've been saying Tajin, or I don't know, either way. But you guys sold me, I want him. Sounds like an immediate impact. Hey, what a get out of here. But secondly, Phillies are good. They've shown us who they are. They are a slow-starting, older team now at this point, and they're going to be fine. Third, Sixers. I wish we kept Jimmy Butler. That's my biggest regret. I'm a huge Sixers fan. Love it all. But, I wish we could have seen what Jimmy
Embiid. Embiid.
Yeah, sorry. First time call.
That's all right. No worries.
Yeah, thank you. But, I really wish I could have seen what they could have done, so I think we'd have a chip by now. And, anyway. Oh yeah, back to the. I have one final point on the. I want to give you my show for the afternoon show.
What should we call it?
You want to hear it?
Yes.
You want to hear it? This has got to be it. Okay. It's the evening show with Reese and Co. Ike Reese has been the longest tenured host. He's always played second fiddle to all the people that he's been on because of their previous history. I think he deserves the head title. I think Reese and Co. The evening show.
You know what? I like the co, and company. Alex, good phone call, man. Call again.
It's not bad.
So he brought up the point, I guess, the shows Ike has been on, his name has always been second?
Has it?
Well, I'm trying to think now. It was Marks and Reese. It was Mike and Ike back in the day. What was the show called with Carlin? Carlin and Reese. Now, I think part of that might be it just sounds better. If we're using the Reese part of his name.
It's the 2-syllable and one.
It ends well.
Always, yes.
And Reese. It ends well. I don't think that's about billing. But, I mean, I could see the idea of giving Ike the top billing.
That's fine.
And Ike interchange. But actually, I got a submission from Joe DeCamera here. Do we want to hear this?
What you got?
Uh-oh.
So DeCamera, I mean, he had this morning. I guess he didn't think of this morning. Or maybe he just wanted to reiterate it. So he I think this is one you got to think through. Okay, like just
here we go.
You got to think.
People aren't really that good at that.
Well,
that's the problem.
I think that's what Joe's going for here. His name is Spike and Jack, and he said all three names are in there, like because Ike is in Spike. You get it?
I can't like, see any way in which that would flow.
Wait a minute, did he say that Ike is in Spike?
He said all three names are in there. So
that don't sound right to me.
Well, I think
because I'm childish.
The name is folded into the name.
I'm childish, but that no, I don't like. That.
I roll him every weekend.
Like yeah, I don't like that. That's
so you're out on Spike
weird.
And Jack.
Spike and Jack.
I don't think people would understand.
Spike and Jack. Spike. You gonna say it like that? Spike.
Because
Spike.
So people hear the Ike.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's too hard. It's too much.
It's too much, man.
All you got to do is run that by Ike and see how he reacts.
Yeah, Fugazi. I can guarantee not about the
Fugazi. Not being the Fugazi.
I like the three dopes. It's the best.
Because neither one, like, nobody's using their real name on this show.
Well, it's radio. A lot of people don't use their real names.
I use my real name.
Do we even know if that's Kyle's real name?
It is Kyle's.
You can't be sure.
You can't be sure. Joe? I've been calling you Joe forever. Like, Ike's name is Isaiah. What is it? Brett?
Yep.
Bert?
And Jack is John.
Yeah, John? How do you get John from Jack? How does that work?
Jack
that's a thing. Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I mean, Jacks are John.
Jack has always been John.
Every Jack you've ever known is a John.
Well, that's not true. One of my friends is just
Jack
a Jack.
That I've ever known.
Okay. Yep.
Every Jack that I've ever known is a John. I didn't know that.
You're right. There are exceptions. Because my son's name is Luke, and sometimes people think his name is like Lucas.
Luther.
Or Lucas, shortened to Luke. No, his name's just Luke.
Okay.
So I guess there probably are some Jacks just running around out there.
I never knew that was the same thing. It's just like Richard and, you know.
Yeah, I wonder if anyone else around here is using a make-believe
Richard and what?
Richard.
Oh.
Whatever the opposite of Richard is.
How about that D?
There it is. Matt and Horsham. What's up, Matt?
You're not going to get me in trouble.
What's up, Matt?
Hey, how are you?
Good, Matt. What are you thinking?
I'm a little scared about Castellanos.
Yeah, him almost swinging at a pitch 5 feet outside last night didn't make you feel good?
No, that and the fact that he's been doing it since last year.
Yeah. It just feels like he's uncomfortable, and when he's uncomfortable, he doesn't do anything up there to help himself out. He swings at bad pitches. And sometimes, Matt, it feels like he takes good ones to hit, and he puts himself at a bad count. It's like he's all messed up.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything for us as fans either.
No, it does not.
I also have a suggestion for the new show.
What are you thinking? How are they going to make these names work here? Three names.
Ike Spiked with Jack.
Ike Spiked with Jack?
Yep.
What do you think, Hugh?
No.
Ike? No?
No.
Too much?
I mean, because it's like the – no disrespect to you, Matt, because I think that's a great contribution. But that – nah. That's like the other ones we had. It's kind of the same thing with a shot of Jack or a hit of Jack.
Yeah, this morning, yeah. I mean, Wechter had a good one, but, you know, it was like 50 words. It was like, I can't even follow along what I'm watching here. Matt, you think they need to change this lineup up and move it around?
I don't know what more you can do. I mean, we should have got Soto, really, but, yeah, we need a change.
Well, Soto would have helped, for sure. Yeah, I mean, that guy's an amazing player. Matt, we appreciate it. I do think at some point here, and I know it's early, it's April, trades aren't being made now, no one's trading you a good player right now, teams are still in the race, there's extra wild cards. Whenever that moment starts to happen, June, mid-June, early July, they're going to need a bat. I just don't see any way around this. Even if Bryce starts hitting, and I think he, you know, as long as he's healthy, he will start hitting, they're going to need another bat. The bottom of that lineup, especially, you ever look at the lineup on the days that Real Muto has to sit? And I know they're rare, right? He sits once a week. Mm-hmm. Boy, when you throw Stubbs in the bottom, along with Castellanos and along with Rojas, it gets pretty.
That's a tough sled.
It gets pretty weak.
But again, I go back to the media order. What are they doing on those days where that happened? That's where I feel you need to get the most impact, because those guys, if those guys are doing their job, Joe, I don't think we would be talking about. We probably would be talking about Rojas a lot because of the last year, but it wouldn't be as a big a factor as it is now.
You think Bryce is starting to feel the pressure of the bottom of the lineup? I do. It feels like he thinks if I don't hit, our chances of scoring runs really diminish. Because, you know, he's not going to say this. I'll say it. If he's not hitting, like, are we really going to count on Castellanos and the guys at the bottom? It's they're probably not going to do much. So, doesn't it feel, Hugh, watching him slam the bat, slam the helmet? Bryce is – it's starting to get to him.
Well, it's because I feel like – it's a little bit of that, but I feel more so it's because for him, he didn't expect to be in the position that he's in right now. What was we saying? He's hitting like 197?
Yeah, and he's
something like that.
Unlike his teammates, he's historically a good starter.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you talk about the fact last year he had somewhat of a power outage because he was coming off an injury.
Right.
And he expected himself to get off. You know, when you get have a 3-home run game like the one that he had, you expect it to take off from there. Hasn't been the case. You know, and he's getting far removed from that game that he had where he had 3 home runs, and it's getting a little frustrating because he's not where he feels at this point of the season where he needs to be. Mm-hmm. That's where the frustration comes.
So we did a little math here in the last break. I think the Phillies have to average over 8 runs per game the rest of the way to achieve your
at
side of the bat.
At least 8 runs a game.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. It sounds a little daunting, but I'm okay with that.
Sounds a little daunting.
This starts tonight, Joe. It starts tonight.
Against Austin Gomber?
Gomber. Yes, it starts tonight. It's a little daunting, but I'm okay with that.
Well, I do expect the Phillies to pitch well tonight, as they have been.
And
most
it's a warm, it's like, what, 80 degrees or something?
Is it that going to be that warm again? I know I yesterday was going to
be like 70, mid 70s.
Okay.
Today.
Yeah.
71. So 80 sounded so much better, though, Kyle. Why you do me like that, man?
Well, like, just facts. You know.
Now we want to bring up facts on the show.
Yeah.
Like the fact that, you know, Cal Ripken.
Oh, stop. Cal Ripken.
What did Cal Ripken do?
You were going way too far.
No, yeah. You,
Cal Quantrill. Cal.
Yeah, Cal Ripken. He pitched well last night. Cal Quantrill. Pitched pretty good.
You know, we did make him look like a Hall of Fame caliber player.
I was going to say, yeah, he'll file another Cal right into the Hall of Fame one day.
You took it too far. That's where I was right there at the line, and then you just pushed it over the line.
You're the one talking about averaging 6 runs the rest of the season.
No, 8, effectively the rest of the season.
Well, he said to average 6,
to
they got to hit
six.
8. Yeah, yeah, they got to, yeah.
So it's a lot.
That's called math.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, I'm okay with that. It's a little lofty. It feels a little lofty right now. But it starts tonight.
Lofty.
It feels a little lofty. Yes, it does. But, hell, it's still early. It's early enough, and tonight it starts tonight.
I mean, I just
– we get 8 runs tonight, I feel pretty good about not eating – you know, stuff.
So if they,
you're in big trouble.
Yeah, you're in huge trouble on this.
If you win this
bet, not only do you win the bet, we're watching one of the greatest offenses of all time.
And the way you put it, when you put it in that perspective, it's like, dang.
Well,
no, you know
the
what,
fun
though,
part, everyone's like, Gilio, you're an idiot. You said they were an average offense in April. Now they're the greatest offense of all time. Who knows? We'll be able to use that forever. It'd be awesome.
I mean, I feel pretty good about this. Like, initially I did, but now since you know you're putting it in perspective for me, it might be a little lofty.
I think the sweet spot was you to say they averaged 5 runs a game, and that would have been like an interesting debate.
You know what's funny?
You went to 6.
I was thinking 5. Because 5 felt like that's the half of 10. But I was feeling a little froggy, so I went out there with the 6. And like, then when your eyes lit up and you knew you had me. And I was like, I can't back down. I can't back out now.
Last year, they averaged 4.9. So 5 would have been.
Yeah, I'd have been in the sweet spot.
Yeah, that would have been possible.
But I got froggy with the 6. And then when you looked at me and you was like, are you serious?
6.
Like, I was like, yeah, I can't. You know you know how it is. The pride kicked in. I couldn't back out. Yeah.
And then when you factor in that they haven't hit for 3 weeks, you got to make up that amount.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm okay with that.
Well, it's going to be a great thing to track. And every time they get shut out this season, he will come in here with a tear in his eye.
Yeah, and I like the fact that you did not let it go at all. I thought it was going to be one of those ones that
just
kind of died on the vine. Yeah, now that I think about it. But I'm okay with it, though, because I feel good about what I put out there. I feel good about it.
Lamar in West Philly. What's up, Lamar?
Hey, man. How y'all brothers doing?
What's going on,
Lamar?
Man?
What's up?
Hey, man. You got to get that Noah's Mill. Don't forget to get that Noah's Mill, all right? That Noah's Mill of bourbon.
The nose, man. Okay, got you. I got to get
that. I
got some bourbon this weekend.
You
got
to get it, bro.
I got some of that.
Bourbon guy like me.
Yeah, I did. I got some of that Go Birds bourbon, though. I'm going to have to try that this week.
Was it free?
Yeah, Noah's Mill is off the
What's
chart.
What's my name?
Man. I'm telling you, off the chart. But the Phillies would be fine. It seemed to do this every year, and I think the weather has a factor for some reason. I don't know. Plus, being up here in a cold weather kind of town, they're not fitting well to play well. I don't understand why they start off slow, but then when the pressure comes on them, they strive in it, which is weird.
Lamar. It's bizarre because they can get hot and score as well as anybody for a month. Like last August, they just killed it. Yeah,
right. And then on the Sixers, man, you know I'm not scared of that. I think when I look at this team. To me, defensively, they feel a little better than me. And then Lyles Oubre gives you some good defensive minutes. And then these guys, you got four guys that can, you know, put the ball in the bucket. I think they'll be fine. They'll beat Jimmy. I'm not worrying about Jimmy. They could definitely beat Giannis and them team. But I don't fear the guy. And then I got a name for the show. It's real simple.
What is it?
Jacked, Spiked, and Iked. That's it.
Spiked and Iked.
Jacked, Spiked, yeah. and Iked.
I think Jack would like the fact that his name is first on the show, but let me tell you,
a Jack, Spike, and Ike show. Come on, man. Send me some tickets or something. Send me something, man. You know what I mean? That's the name of the show right there.
If they pick that one, Lamar, Jack will personally give you a prize. I promise.
I tell you what, I don't think.
Thank you, Lamar.
I don't think Ike or Spike are egomaniacs, but that dog ain't going to hunt. I can tell you that right now. Those guys,
like the way it was framed right there, that dog's not gonna hunt.
Yeah, that dog's not gonna hunt because, you know, Ike's been in this game too long, and Spike for that matter. Spike used to be the boss, dog. He used to be the boss. Like, I like Jack.
And now
I think I like Jack, and I think his name should be on the show. But it won't be first. It won't be first. It won't, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah, but you know what Ricky Bobby says.
What he said, if you ain't first, you're last. That didn't help. That didn't help. Now, Jack, I feel like Jack's name should be on the show for the simple fact that I think Jack works hard. He worked hard to get to this
point. And it has been billed as a three-person show. It's the three of them. We all know that.
But I can tell you right now, just from, you know, walking around a little bit, if his name is not on the show, he going to feel some kind of way. So we need to figure. Or this. How about nobody's name on the show? Somebody just submitted
the afternoon
name.
Show?
How about this name? Somebody just submitted this, and I don't have the name in front of me that submitted it, but how about the Mother Evening Show?
The what? Oh.
Yeah. You should have saw Kyle's face when I said, because he just thought, I wasn't going to say it, Kyle, but you know.
Sometimes you never know. I mean, I hear Mother, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't want you to go Ron Burgundy on us. You see something, you read it, and we're into big trouble here.
Yeah. No, I wasn't going to say it.
Sometimes your producer instincts get, you know. Everybody relax.
Yeah, he was looking like, oh my gosh.
I thought is this the National Feelings League? Are we about feelings or are we about the best name?
I said evening. Do I mean afternoon? Afternoon.
Afternoon. Someone think of it as an early evening. It's the afternoon show.
Yeah. Or the Mother, Drive Home. The Mother, Drive Home.
I'm not sure that's the start there is going to work on the radio.
Yeah.
I just don't think so.
Feels like we're inviting a little bit.
I don't think people are going to get it, you know?
If you don't say it, they don't get it, and you can't say it.
Well, it's better than what the alternative. That way, Jack doesn't have to feel some kind of way, and nobody's name on the show.
Again, I think the Three Dopes isn't terrible.
I like the Fugazis myself.
It's because you came up with it.
Yes.
The Three Dopes is really good.
I know. That might be what I call it. I don't know if that's actually going to be the name. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll finish up on the phones, and I think we may have to cross a guy off a huge draft board. I don't even know if he has an actual draft board, but I think we're going to cross someone off it when we get back. He's not even aware yet. We'll tell him who it is next. Someone, I think, after Hugh hears this, he's going to say, out on this guy. And, of course, our wager of the Phillies scoring on an average of 6 runs per game this entire season, which I am going to win. More of that coming up. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let's talk about FanDuel, because we got some big stuff going on right now with the NBA play-in tournament starting tonight in the Western Conference and, of course, tomorrow night in the East. The NBA play-in tournament gives teams a chance to play their way into the postseason, and it only seems right that new customers on FanDuel could play their way into $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. Bet on, here, I got a parlay for you tomorrow night. Over Jimmy Butler points. Over Kelly Oubre threes, and under Joel Embiid rebounds. Go to FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to get started. That's FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. Make every moment more at FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back. Midday show. We lead you right into the new afternoon show coming up at 2 o'clock.
The show with no name. How about that?
Yes.
The show with no name.
We know who's on it.
That's the name.
The show with no name?
Yeah. In the afternoon.
It would kind of be catchy. The show
with no name. Yeah, the show with no name.
Sounds like a Conklin bit to do that the song Horse with No Name, but make it The Show with No Name.
The Show with No Name.
Well, the newest iteration of the afternoon show starts in earnest today at 2 o'clock. Spike is in the building, so we're excited for those guys to start the new show. All right, before we go back to the phone lines here with all your phone calls, Hugh, I think, and I don't know if you have a physical draft board, but I know we've talked about a lot of the names, and I think it's time that we're going to cross a player off your list. So a name that we've talked a lot about, and he's been mocked to the Eagles quite a few times, maybe not as much in the last week, but like there was like a two-week stretch where we kept seeing this guy's name to the Eagles. Listen to what Daniel Jeremiah said about this guy, because if I know you like I think you do, Hugh, I don't think you're going to want this guy to play corner for the Eagles if Daniel Jeremiah's evaluation is correct. Here he was.
Your final pick here, DJ, was one that you made in your most recent mock draft that, like, you made it, but you didn't love it.
Yeah, and, you know, I think you phrased it well there. Nate Wiggins is really talented. I could make a case if you just watch him cover. He's the best pure cover guy in the entire draft. Out of Clemson, he's long, he's lean, he ran the 4.2s. You know, he showed up at the combine, he was in 173 pounds. He put some weight back on for his pro day. That's not the issue for me, but I have him going to the Philadelphia Eagles because they have a screaming need at the position and he can really cover.
Well, that's the good part. But now listen to Dent Jeremiah on the other part of Wiggins' game.
Personally, I've just kind of gotten away and I've kind of pushed guys down over the last several years that aren't tackling corners. Like you used to be able to play with guys who didn't really tackle. And I think, you know, my theory on it is you know, when McVay kind of took over this league and Shanahan took over this league and then their tree expanded massively, reduced splits, bringing corners into run fits more so than they've ever been before. And you can't hide those guys anymore, man. And they're just going to leave him unblocked. You're going to make him the force player. And it's a nightmare. So to me, I've pushed those guys down a little bit, those pure cover corners that I didn't trust to be able to get guys on the ground. And I'm not talking about being a trained killer in there and knocking the guy's mouthpiece out. I'm just get him on the ground. I don't care how you do it, but just find a way to get him on the ground. So that was my hang up with him as a player.
You know what's funny? I was watching, the other night I was watching television. They were just breaking the highlights. And it was like he had an in and out. We had two receivers on his side or whatever. And I was just watching him.
This is Wiggins you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like he didn't want to make it didn't seem like he was going more for the pick than making the securing the play, which is fine.
Sante Samuel did that.
Yeah, which is fine. Yeah. Which is fine. But just like he said, Daniel Jeremiah said, this league now, when you talk about the teams that were competing in the playoffs and the way that the league is going, you have to be able to tackle. You have to be able to tackle. Now, it's great to have guys out there that can cover for days. But when you talk about those tight splits and things of that nature and crossing routes and things like that, you have to get guys down.
So that's interesting the way he framed it with the Shanahan-ism of the offense in the NFL, right? Everyone kind of copied Shanahan's offense. The Rams do it. The Lions do it. The Packers do it. All the teams the Eagles are going to have to compete against in the NFC. When I heard that, it gave me pause on Wiggins because – the way he framed it is almost like they will find you. They will make you make
basically
the play.
And you know what? When I think about those games that we played against San Fran, and you know what? And I'm not picking, but it sticks out because you said it. Like, you didn't tackle well, but you still felt like you played a good game. You played right into their game plan. When you think about this San Fran game, if I'm not mistaken, it wasn't the San Fran game where he's talking about he had a pretty good game? Darius Slay?
Slay. I forget which one. I've blocked out all his nonsense.
No, but my point is this. I mean, you didn't because
good.
And he unfollowed me. But it's one of those things where, you know, you can't hide. If they know your style of play, if they know that you're tackle averse, then they're going to put you in situations where you're going to have to make business decisions that you have claimed that you're not trying to make. I mean, that's a fact. And if that's the case, then where do you think I'm going with the football? Where
right
do you think
you.
I'm setting my picks to? To your side. Because I know once the receiver catches the ball, you're probably not going to want to tackle him, and you're going to do everything you can or turn it back inside to your help. You're not going to try to do none of that. You're not doing that.
Yeah, it's interesting how the ebbs and flows of the NFL. You know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, everyone's throwing the ball down the field, and you needed the guys that could cover down the field. You know,
like Deion Sanders.
Right, and now the league has gone more to underneath stuff because everyone's prioritizing stopping the deep pass. Well, if everything is underneath, you have to come up and tackle.
Yeah, like he said, the corners, the one thing that I noticed, and he said it, like corners are in run fits a lot more than they were in the past. And you have to have those corners that are run support guys that can turn it back to the Sharks.
I also question his size. And I know, look, Devontae.
He's a little slight build.
Devontae on the other side of the ball has done very well as a 170-pound receiver. But I don't know. I see a lot of these receivers. They look like trucks out there. Can Nate Wiggins stop Deebo Samuel if Deebo's running full speed at him? I don't know.
No, I think that would be a business decision for him.
Yeah.
If it's not a pick, if it's not a definite pick, then you got guys back there that have the mindset that I'm not tackling anybody. I mean, you can't be that way now. You really, really can't be that way.
It just feels like all roads lead to Cooper DeJean. I mean, the more we go through this, right, I think the top two corners are going to be gone. Kyle's boycotting all offensive linemen. It feels like all roads lead to Cooper DeJean next Thursday night. That's what I'm feeling. Lou's in Denver. What's up, Lou?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I don't want a guy that can't tackle. We saw enough of that last year.
Unfortunately, we did. We saw a whole second half of the season of it.
Yeah, and DeJean is, I just looked it up, he's 30 pounds heavier and a half inch or inch shorter. So, I mean, I would definitely like to see him in Eagles green.
Yeah,
that would
and
be
although
a good guy to move around in the backfield. And yeah.
Well, certainly. And look, DeJean didn't run as fast as Wiggins. I mean, Wiggins ran like a 4.2, but DeJean ran a 4.4. It's not like he's slow, so he can run. Even though he's bigger, he can still run.
Yeah, and sometimes it's about instincts. I mean, look at T.J. Edwards. He went undrafted, didn't have a good 40 time, but he was always in the right position, and we could have used him this last year for sure.